The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not let them speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Is it December yet? I am sick and tired of this election. I don't care what side you are on, who it is that is running, whether you are for that party or this party, it's getting old. And it's getting way, we've been doing this for 2 years now, it seems like. On and on and on. And now as Iowa gets ready to go and be the first to vote, there's all this talk. Constant chatter, constant talk in our ears, all of this static. This is what I'm going to do if I become president. This is how I'm going to change this country. This is where we will go. Talk. And we oftentimes listen and it goes in one ear and out the other. Let's face it, today talk is really cheap. It's really too bad that we can't do more with our words, like fuel our cars or provide energy for people who are in low-income areas. Words would be great if they could pump gas into our car, but they can't. And so when people talk about things, great big things that they're going to do as politicians, or even in your conversations that you have during the day with a coworker or a friend, we tend to devalue what it is that each other is saying. We throw around words rather carelessly and loosely without regard of the fact that what they actually mean. If you think about it for a moment, words have been known to start and to end wars. Words might have began your romance with your husband or your wife. Maybe they ended it too. Words can comfort, words can terrify, words can bring joy, they can bring hurt, they can console. Words are rather powerful things, if you think about it. And words can come with authority and power. The word of a judge can release one who is guilty or not guilty, or put them behind bars. The words of our politicians, our legislature, our president, our governors can bring punishment or reward. Their words can lower taxes or higher taxes. When one who is in authority speaks, those words carry authority and power. When one who has power speaks, who knows what could happen. And so it is with us today as Christians. So many are confused about what we believe at times. What is it that we truly believe and confess? And when we share what it is that we believe, that Jesus is the true Son of God, He is true God and true man, that He came to suffer and die on behalf of all humanity, that He came for you to change our lives, but not doing miraculous things for us like healing people of demons or a woman of a flu or a fever, but to speak His word from the cross, to speak His word of forgiveness and love. Love that we don't even really know how to share. That's what Paul was talking about today. When you look at that 1 Corinthians passage, that love can only be found in Christ. So when the Son of God, who is also the Word made flesh, the Word of God made flesh, His words come when He speaks with the authority of God Himself. We just sang a few moments ago, literally, before the gospel reading, as we stood up out of respect and honor for the gospel, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when God in Christ Jesus says your sins, all of them, every last one of them, is forgiven by His blood which has been shed for you, which now speaks in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews, on your behalf? Do you truly believe that you are forgiven, that you are saved, no matter what you have done or left undone, as we have said? Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by His words that we listen to, that we have eternal life? Or are these things just options, idle words, or simply religious fanfare or opinions? The prophets of old spoke on behalf of God. Jeremiah said that he was not very eloquent with words, but God said that He hemmed him in his mother's womb to go out and speak. They weren't speaking their own words or their own opinions. God had to place His word into their mouths. And in speaking the word, it wasn't just simply a message. In the Old Testament Hebrew, the word for word is dabar. I don't expect you to be impressed with that or to walk out of here saying we learned something new today, but that word doesn't simply mean word. It actually is translated as event. And so when a prophet speaks, it is an event. It's an event of God. And so when God speaks, He brings His presence. He brings an event. His word is sent for that which it will accomplish, to condemn or to save. But really, He wishes to save all. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it, as would Jeremiah say. Isaiah would say the same as well. He would even though say before he would go out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips." Christ would touch Isaiah's lips as He would touch Jeremiah's lips to cleanse. And He says, "Behold, I have put My words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Wonderful things that God wishes to do, but not with construction projects, politicians, or money, but with nothing but the Word of God. Jeremiah had no political power, no might, no clout, no connections, no armies, nothing but other than the Word of God that he had been placed onto his lips. But that Word has authority. It has power to topple kingdoms, to tear down, to destroy, but also to restore, to build up, and to plant. And now we hear about Jesus today. He doesn't simply have the word in His mouth. He is that word made flesh. And this is a cause of great astonishment from what we heard in Luke chapter 4 today. He teaches with the authority of God because Jesus is God. A demon decides to disrupt things, to distract the hearers of this word of Jesus, and he silences them with the word. But make no mistake about it. I hope you saw it today. Listen to even what the demons must say about Jesus. And are those words on our mouths as well? They say, "You are the Christ, the Holy One of God." The demons can't say what they want to say about it. They must speak the truth when they are confronted with Jesus. And yet he tells them to be silent, because he alone will be the one who speaks and does the will and the work of God. And the people wonder, what is it with this word that he speaks? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Not some big trance, not some big seance. He just simply speaks, nothing more than a word. And then something utterly profound happens as Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house, and he interacts with Peter's mother-in-law, who is sick with a fever. She's ill. She's not feeling well. Please, Jesus, won't you help her? I mean, the demon thing, we understand. We can't control the demons in our own ways. The demon incident seems powerful. It seems great with things. But a fever? Get a shot. Take some Tylenol. Emergency, vitamin C, all of these things. Take 2 aspirins, drink plenty of fluids, and you'll be just fine with no time. Why trouble Jesus with a fever? But do you see the reality there? That even Peter's mother-in-law, who is ill with a fever, is important to Jesus. She is precious to him, as it is with all of you and me. We may not come in here possessed by demons. We may have our own doubts, our own fears, our shame, our guilt, or whatever else it is that terrorizes us day in and day out. But you are precious in his sight. You are the one that he has spoken into creation, and you are the one who he has said his word is for you and for your benefit. He goes to her bedside and he again delivers his words. He rebukes the fever, rebukes it. The same as he did with the demon. Demons, sickness, it doesn't matter. These are all the same thing. They are a product and sign of our sinful nature. But that's why he has come. He has come to change humanity. He has come to change all of us. Not by filling our bank accounts, not by giving us success in this life, but to assure us that we have the God who has come to suffer, to feel hunger and thirst, to bleed on behalf of the entire world, to die for you, for me, and to rise victorious from the dead. He does this with all authority and power given to him by the Father. And he would go elsewhere as well. As we heard, he says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for this is the purpose that I was sent." The purpose that he has come for was to speak the words of eternal life. Not to heal everyone one by one. That's nice. Not even to cast out every demon. It's impressive. Not even to deal with all of our little problems and our fears on a case-by-case basis, but to say to all of us, your greatest problems of sin, death, and the devil have been conquered by him. He was sent by the Father not to fix the world, but to redeem the world. And so now that word comes to you this day. The same word which silenced demons, that raised an old lady from a fever, that same word comes to you as he once again speaks to you the words that open up heaven to you. I forgive you all of your sins. That same word has the power behind baptism, that we were crucified, resurrected with Christ by baptism, and now we live in the newness of life. all by the power of the Word of God in and through the waters. That same Word of God beckons you to come to His table, yes, once again. As He says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood given and shed for you. It's not something we can understand. It's not something we can fully comprehend, but it is always there because Jesus says so by His Word. And today we welcome more into our midst. We welcome our new members here today. We are happy that you are here, but it's not all about the programs and everything else that why you are here. It is the pure, simple Word of God that has brought you here, that will sustain you as you come together with your new brothers and sisters in Christ at this place. It'll be the Word of God that will sustain us as a congregation through thick and through thin, through wars and rumors of wars, through earthquakes, fires, floods, famines, all of these things, yes, even through death itself. The Word has power, it has authority, and it will always come to you, His beloved children, to forgive you, to heal you, to restore you, to raise you up, and to love you. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.